This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Somali population, the largest in the United States. Oh. And there he works as a freelance delivery driver. And during the course of one of his deliveries, he kind of runs across a criminal ring. And then, you know, it goes on from there.
Why a Somali character? I'm just thinking that there are so many biracial people in this country who could form the basis for a book. So why this particular one? Why Somali?
Sure. Obviously I have interest. You know, I'm biracial myself, black and white. So I have interest certainly in what happens in America. But as far as immigration, you know, I became interested in Somalia. You know, it's been in the news a lot. You know, it's they're in the process of forming a constitution for the government. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately it's in the news for a lot of negative reasons, but right. You know, I started reading more and more about it, and, you know, generally speaking, I found that there's this sort of resourcefulness and strength to the culture, you know, again, generally speaking, that, you know, that I wanted the main character, you know, to have an element of that. So that was the main reason of including, you know, Somali perspective.
Is biraciality an issue in the Somali community?
You know, I don't know that it is, and I should say, you know, I'm not an expert. It wasn't a decision I made lightly, you know, kind of taking on this perspective that's mm-hmm. not my own. I mean, it's a somewhat precarious thing to try to do. So I don't know that it particularly is, but, you know, some of it is this universal kind of outsider status, and
yes.
And what I sort of wanted to do was have the character walk this really thin line between, you know, on one hand there's the Somali community of Minnesota that views him with a bit of suspicion because he's biracial, and then on the other side there's this element of, you know, the native Minnesotans who, you know, it's a somewhat homogeneous white area. And they view him with some suspicion because he's an immigrant. You know, so on one hand he's biracial, on another hand he's an immigrant. So he's kind of walking this thin line, you know, that makes it a challenge for him.
Okay.
How did this particular story come to you? The story of him meeting a young girl whose father has designs on her organs for sale.
Yeah, it's a bit of a far out idea, but it comes from a couple areas. One, I studied biology when I was in undergrad school, and so I always like having an element of kind of a biological science element. So that's where kind of this organ transplant idea comes in. It's just something that I'm interested in. The other is, you know, I'm a father myself, relatively recent father. I started a little late, so I have a 4-year-old. And so, you know, fatherhood to me is kind of very much in the forefront of my thinking. So sort of the intersection of fatherhood and then my studies of biology.
Right.
What was the race of each parent or origin of a nation?
Sure. My father's black. He's from the south side of Chicago, born in the 40s. He was actually a classmate of Emmett Till. The young man, 1955, was murdered in Mississippi and became, you know, kind of a cultural touchstone. And, you know, it really was a galvanizing event in civil rights. My dad was a classmate of him, grew up kind of down the street. And then my mother, she's white. She's from rural North Dakota. The population was about 300 in her town.
Gosh.
So, yeah, class-wise, they come from pretty similar backgrounds, but, you know, obviously in terms of race, not at all. I mean, both of their communities were 100%, you know, homogenous, one black and one entirely white.
Yeah, I'm thinking culturally, your parents sound as if their backgrounds were as different as that of your main character. And, okay, you are biracial, so I would say in terms of your experience, as you were talking about the character, I thought, you know, he's catching it from both ends. Do you feel that that at this time, being biracial in this country, there's still the suspicion or misunderstanding? And we have about, I'd say, a minute left before our break, so as much as you can say, and we may pick it up on the other side.
Sure. I mean, being with the president's biracial, I think I had kind of high hopes for some change, you know, to come about in that area. But, you know, I don't want to sound at all hopeless, but I haven't seen a lot of increase in acceptance lately. But, you know, I think we're on that road. You know, I mean, the intermarriage is on the increase. So I'm hoping that, you know, these problems will kind of resolve over time.
I hope so, too. But you're feeling like that there is still an issue as a biracial person.
Sure.
Big issues.
I mean, the issues are different than, you know, I'm not saying it's more difficult than those, you know, that come from a single race. But, yeah, without a doubt, there's a unique kind of set of challenges, I think, that still remain for people of biracial descent.
Okay, we want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Now we're going to stop for a minute.
And then we can start for a minute. Thank you, Patricia. This is Ani, and I'm here with Ivan.
Hello.
And we are asking that you take this moment during Black Book Talk this morning to join KBOO Community Radio to support the program that you are listening to right now, to support the entire radio zine, to support public affairs on KBOO, your access to information of cultural and community relevance. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, and you can become a member of KBOO so very quickly, so very easily when you do so. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
That's right, you know, and radio is one of those mediums that draws people together. You may be listening by yourself, but you're part of something. You're part of a larger community. And just like Trudy, who called in and became a renewing member, she's from Southwest Portland. I want to thank Holly, another renewing member from North Portland, and Micah, again, a renewing member from Southeast Portland. Thank you all very much for calling in today with your support. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. We're listening right now to Black Book Talk, and for your $60 minimum pledge, you can get Delivery by Jonathan Miller. This is only available as a PDF or a Kindle ebook, and a free reader is available. So with your minimum pledge, you could get these and read them at your leisure. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. It's important. It's something to do right now on this gray spring day in Portland. You can become part of something bigger, part of something larger, and join the community that is KBOO. You know, we're all volunteers here. We do this as a labor of love. We come in, we put these shows together for you, the listening audience, because we think it's important. We think these are important bits of information for you to have. And if, in case you haven't put it together yet for yourself, the morning is of the weekday is dedicated to the radio zine. So if you're listening now, you feel like community issues are important for you. You feel like you need to listen to this news, to find the news, to know what is going on in the community, in Portland, in Oregon, and in this country and in the world. And you can hear it right here at KBOO. Call, won't you? 877-500-5266 or go online, kboo.fm.
Okay. Welcome back. This is Black Book Talk, and we are talking to Jonathan R. Miller, the author of, oh my gosh, I'm losing my book, Delivery, forgive me, and many other books. You know, I want to come back to, I don't want to belabor, but I want to come back to this whole issue of what it means to be biracial, because I have lived on the East Coast in the Midwest and now in the Pacific Northwest. And it seems that there are one more biracial, I see more biracial people, people who identify as biracial or multiracial. And in some cases, and I have said this to the people, so it's, you know, no secret, but a lot of the folks who hear say, well, I'm biracial, if I met them as when I was growing up in Baltimore, I would just say they're light. It's like they're obviously African American, and there would be no question in my mind that they were black. It's just that they were light. But, and you know, you might have a white person in the family somewhere. I mean, we are all so mixed. So it seems to me in some areas of the country, and I may be wrong, you know, I'd like to know about your experiences if you've lived in different places, but it seems like in some areas of the country, the issue of being biracial is more of an issue than in others. In some areas, people feel like they are in a really distinctive separate group. And then in some other areas, folks are just like, hey, you know, my mama may be white, my daddy may be black, I'm light, let's keep stepping. So can you just talk to me about that, if you've seen any differences geographically in how this whole phenomenon is addressed?
You know, I think you're absolutely right that it's diverse. I don't know that I've seen it geographically personally, but I have seen it very much so as a very personal, I wouldn't even call it a choice. It's almost a choice that tends to be made for people. And, you know, I think a lot of it is based on appearance, and a lot of it is based on the community in which somebody grows mm-hmm. up in. You know, is it, you know, mostly identified with one of the parent races or the other? And I have found people absolutely who reject the term biracial because it doesn't feel right. Mixed doesn't feel right to them. They feel like for your example, you know, I've been treated black. You know, everybody, you know, the people around me are black. They know me as black. I'm black. You know, it doesn't make any difference, you know, what the composition of my parents happen to be. And I'm the last person to say that there's anything wrong with that. I think it's really it's a personal choice, or you know, as I said, maybe it's made for you. But some people feel more comfortable, I think, with the term, you know, taking on the term biracial, and it feels more like it reflects their experience and their perspective, and yes. Some don't.
Yes.
And the other side of that are those people who are biracial but are so light that they appear white. Can you talk a little bit about passing?
Absolutely. I mean, and that is my personal experience. You know, and I use the word passing, you know, kind of loosely. I mean, it's a historical term, as I'm sure you all know, and most of the listeners are probably familiar with it. But, you know, and it kind of implies an active attempt to integrate into another culture, really for survival. You know, you're trying to, you know, I use deceptive not as a negative, but I mean, it's a fact of survival, you know, to get by. For me, it's more of how I've been taken in by the world. I mean, I'm, you know, because of my appearance, a lot of people see me as a white man, and therefore I receive that sort of treatment. And so, you know, it's more of a passive act for me. It's not an active attempt to deceive anybody. So that said, you know, for me, you know, the experience of passing has been very powerful. I know that it has affected me, you know, in ways that have benefited me and kind of hurt me in certain ways and alienated me in certain ways. It is a very powerful thing even now.
Powerful in what way?
Well, on one hand, you know, the negative side. When you know, we've gotten to a point in this country, at least in most of this country, I would say, not all, where people know enough to censor their opinions, you know, if they have certain prejudices or if they would kind of use certain epithets in their normal conversation. A lot of people know now to, you know, that you keep that to yourself unless you're around your kind of insular group, and then you let loose. So in my experience, sometimes people are taking me into that insular group without my knowing. Like, for example, if I'm at a workplace, let's say, and I'm in a lunchroom, and these white folks get to talking, and they start to talk as though I'm one of them. And there's been more times than I can count where I found myself, you know, kind of in the lion's den, and I didn't realize it until I start to hear these things. So that is definitely, you know, without question, been a component of my experience. So and it's powerful. you know, on the positive side, kind of just the process of trying to navigate these worlds and figure out myself, you know, has had great, I think, impacts on my personality and my way of thinking, where I think I'm probably a lot more, you know, because I haven't had as much acceptance, I think, by folks, I think I probably need, you know, I seek acceptance a little bit less, which can be very freeing. You know, I think I'm a little more balanced in my thinking than I might have been. All those are positives.
Good, good. And certainly, yes, a lot of things that many of us don't hear, you do hear, so you are prepared. Got about 28 minutes before the break.
Seconds,
yes. Oh, my. Well, it's just our show.
Day.
It's our show. You know, so I think it might be good for us to just welcome our pitch folks in to let them get started. Maybe they start a little earlier, and then they can end a little earlier, and we can get back to you again, because this is fascinating.
And fascinating information is what KBOO specializes in. This is Ani. I'm still here with my friend Ivan. Mm-hmm. And it is so important that, well, you're here with us too. And if you're here with us, and I dare say you are, else you would not have heard me say that, it is time for your call of support, 877-500-5266. This is great. This is a great show. We thank the producers of Black Book Talk. We thank Patricia. We thank Emma Jackson Ford. We thank OB Hill. And we thank them for the work that they do on their program every month to make sure we stay connected to relevant literary arts. It's important for the entire community. The show is important to everyone. And it is important that you are there for us. 877-500-5266. We need to raise a goal of $200 in the next 11 minutes. We can do it with your generous support at 877-500-5266. You can also join us online at kboo.fm. And let's see. There is, in fact, you could get a copy of this book. I even tell them more.
Ah, yes, you can get a copy of this book by Jonathan Miller called Delivery. It's available only as a PDF or a Kindle ebook or a free reader, which I'm not really sure what that is because I have not yet delved into the world of online reading. But I'm sure if free reader means something to you, then you'll know what it is. And it'll be important to you. At a $60 minimum pledge, you can get this and read it at your home in your book or your ebook or your computer or whatever it may be. And you can get that by calling 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm. You know, they call us pitchers here at KBOO. We are pitching, and we hope you are catching. Will you catch this message and get to us and call us at 877-500-5266? Our drive ends this Saturday. Join us now, won't you? And be the hero maybe you've been waiting to be. Maybe you've been sitting by your radio thinking, oh, the time is coming, but it's not yet right. It's not yet right. Gonna wait until Saturday. Well, you can do that, or you can call right now. Just do it. You know, just join up. Why not? What have you got to lose, really? I mean, you're listening right now. If you're listening during a pledge drive, a membership drive, you're a dedicated listener. Sorry to say it, but it's true.
It's true.
It's true.
And,
yes.
And since you are dedicated, go ahead and connect in. Know that you are a radioactive member of our community. Know that you make things happen. You are not just passively sitting around listening to this information and freeloading off your neighbor. No, you are in fact stepping up to the plate and saying, yeah, this is the kind of information you want to support. It's political, it's culturally relevant, it's social. The Radio Zine delivers in so many ways, from the hardcore political analysis of Teresa Mitchell and Per Fogring to the culturally relevant and important Black Book Talk Between the Covers. There's the movie show on all other Thursdays. There's A Deeper Look alternating with Per Fogring's Fight the Empire on Thursdays. The Thursday morning Radio Zine is a great mix of cultural information and hardcore analysis that keeps us informed, inspired, and together. Call right now with your support at $10 a month or $15 a month, step forward. Become a friend of KABU. Give us a dollar a day. You got a dollar a day for your community? It's less than buying your community a cup of coffee every day. Mm-hmm. Think about that. 877-500-5266 for your pledge of support of $60 or more. We would love to give you an e-copy. It's available as a PDF, Kindle, or e-book. All of those formats are available for your $60 minimum pledge. Delivery by Jonathan R. Miller. You're hearing the interview. It is time for you to support it. 877-500-5266. Procrastinate no longer, my friend. I myself have been a procrastinator in my life. It's true. And it's time to stop that. There is no moment but now. This is not a dress rehearsal. YOLO. 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM. This is the time that you step forward and you support your entire community. It's easy to do. It's the right thing to do. 877-500-5266.
Yes, now is all we have. Go now to your phone and dial 877-500-5266. Thank you.
Brother Miller, the Somali man who was blinded, is there any religious dimension within the context of this book?
Absolutely. Most, not all, folks that live in Somalia are Muslim. So I did incorporate that into the book. So yes, the main character practices Islam.
Okay. Is this your first ebook? Just curious about that.
No, I've sort of gone into that arena within the last 2 years, based primarily on the freedom that the media, the medium provides, where you do have the power to kind of get a book out quickly, updated if necessary. It really is kind of a powerful medium, and the trends kind of support it now, and I've really enjoyed it.
Okay, could you tell us about one or two of your other books? Since you've done several, we want people to be looking out for that, looking out for you.
Yeah, sure. My wife tends to think of my books as a little bit of boy books, but
what does that mean?
She tells me, but I actually think that they're. I don't try to do that. I think they're a little bit more universal than I think that she gives me credit for. But I tend to write. These are, meant to be kind of page turners. Right. At the same time that I'm incorporating these issues that I find important, I want these books to stand on their own. These stories to be exciting, and move you through. So. Some of my other stories, I say what they have in common is, they are thrillers kind of at the heart of them, and they tend to incorporate some, like I said earlier, some biological science components, nothing too technical, but, biological science, they tend to have a bit of action, in them. That's why I think that my wife thinks they're boy books. But, and then sometimes I get just a touch into some futuristic elements every once in a while as well. So it's a mix of things. Maybe that's my mixed background coming through.
Is there another book already in the works?
Yeah, yes. My website is jonathanrmiller.com, and anything anybody could want to know could be found there. But yeah, my next book comes out in 2014, and yeah, it's already in the works.
Wow. Now this is, I'm sorry, OBD.
Well, in terms of genealogy, this is sort of a fascinating subject here, how you've incorporated the various religion and race. Now, if you talk about this gene pool that this daughter he's trying to save before blinded is in, what could you say about tracing those roots
of the daughter?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for the daughter, the crux of her experience in the book really revolves around, you know, you have this daughter who, you know, is biracial as well. You know, she is part Somali and part white, living in Minnesota. And the important part about her experience in the book is kind of her longing to have a connection to these roots, which, you know, has certainly been a part of my life, and I think is a part of a lot of biracial people's lives, where, you know, they want this physical, tangible, almost connection. And so her struggle is around finding ways to identify with this, you know, the culture of this homeland, Somalia, which for her, you know, is this faraway place that she barely knows. So, you know, in the process of the book, she attempts to make these connections, you know, with some, unfortunately, some very, you know, tragic results.
You know, it's interesting because the sense is that he has chosen Minnesota, feeling that he's going to find a place where there will be a very peaceful world, and, you know, he will have a proper life for him and his daughter. And I will just say to people out there, doesn't necessarily happen. So this is a mystery. It has been so good talking to you and learning more about your book and about you, and also this whole new world of ebook publishing. We hope that you'll come back to us in a year with your new book and talk about that. And we thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate your time.
All right. Let's see.
For the KBOO News at Noon, I'm Kristen Yount. Palestinian protesters clashed with Israeli military in the city of Hebron yesterday. Thousands attended the Abu Aisha Mosque to mourn the death of a 64-year-old man who died from cancer in Israeli custody. Maysara Abu Hamidieh reportedly died because he did not receive treatment for cancer of the esophagus. An exchange of rocket fire between Gaza and Israel may undermine the Secretary of State John Kerry's scheduled visit to the Holy Land later this week. Israeli President Netanyahu expressed a willingness to escalate violence if Palestinians returned rocket fire after Israel's overnight airstrike. Don't worry, it's not really oil. The 500,000 gallons of sludge pouring out of breached Pegasus pipeline in Mayflower, Arkansas, is not oil. It's diluted bitumen. Conventional oil producers pay 8 cents a barrel into a fund called the Oil Spill Liability Fund for cleanup. Exxon enjoys an exemption from paying into that fund for the Pegasus pipeline because it's not conventional oil. The U.S. Department of Transportation has issued a corrective order, and the Hazardous Material Safety Administration has shut down the pipeline until Exxon can prove that it is safe to reopen. Meanwhile, Exxon successfully convinced the FAA to enforce a no-fly zone over the affected area. The United States government suit against BP and its contractors oozes along in New Orleans for the Deepwater Horizon catastrophe that happened 2 years ago. Contractor Cameron International of Houston, Texas, is off the hook for its role in the disaster. Cameron International manufactured and sold the blowout preventer to BP. The court found that the responsibility lies with those who ordered, installed, and used the failsafe because there is no evidence that it was faulty. The city of Memphis, Tennessee, has dedicated a portion of the street where Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated 45 years ago. Formerly known as Beale Street, 1968 Strikers Lane commemorates the shooting of Dr. King Jr. as he addressed a crowd of striking sanitation workers in 1968. A march and a rally are planned for later today. A massive strike of fast food workers in New York City is on today. The strike is also marking the 45th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Organizers expect that 400 to 500 people will walk away from their grills, fryers, and soda machines today. The group Fast Food Forward is credited with organizing a similar strike back in November. Low-wage paying employers like big box stores and fast food purveyors are enjoying the fastest economic growth in the U.S. this year. Many fast food workers receive food stamps and benefits. Experts say a living wage of $15 would provide workers with enough income to afford housing and food without government assistance. The weather for Portland today will be a little rainy, but mild with highs nearing 60 degrees. This has been KBOO News at Noon. I'm Kristen Yount. Volunteers bring the news to you right here every weekday. So tune in at 5 p.m. every day for the latest in local, national, and international news.
And you are listening to Community Radio, KBOO, 90.7 FM. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at our carbon-neutral eco-brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver, available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com.